Let's open to John chapter 18 tonight as we look at a few verses here. John chapter 18, as we continue our study through this magnificent gospel, this account of the history of our Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, dwelling upon the earth among men. Here John is presenting Jesus Christ as the Son of God. We're in John chapter 18. I want to read verses 15 through 18 this evening. John chapter 15, verse 18. When we left off last time, it's been several weeks now, but when we left off last time, we had seen Jesus betrayed by Judas, and we had seen Simon Peter take the knife out of his belt, out of his girdle, and strike off the high priest's servant's ear. Of course, Jesus graciously reattaches it and goes with that band of men who sought nothing more than to destroy the person of Jesus Christ. Now as we pick it up in verse number 15, we find that Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold. And they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Let's pray. Father, as we consider this passage tonight, bless us with understanding and application to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This evening I would like to talk about the Pied Piper of peer pressure. The Pied Piper of peer pressure, because peer pressure is not something that our teens alone face in their lives. There are times in our lives when we feel the pressure of those that are around us, the pressure of our own peers, to cause us to do things that we really ought not to do. Now, peer pressure can go in two directions. It can go in a negative way, as we will see this evening in the life of Peter, but it also can go in a very positive way. And so that's why it is so important that we are in the habit of joining together in worship as a church family, so that our peer pressure can help encourage one another to walk in the right paths and to stay faithful to God. But as we consider Peter, we find here in this passage that he followed peer pressure in the wrong direction, and that following the peer pressure in the wrong direction led him to a very difficult evening in his life. And so we find, first of all, in verse number 15, as we follow what's happening here with Peter, and we'll look later on in this chapter in just a few moments, but it's interesting, John's account here, he's following two storylines here in the same chapter, and following them simultaneously, because there's two important things taking place at the trial of Christ that God wants you and he wants me to see. He wants us, of course, to see what's going on with the person of Christ in the trial before the priests and then before Pilate. But he also wants us to see what's going on in the life of Peter at the same time. Jesus is inside, Peter is outside. Right now we're going to dwell, or at least this evening we'll dwell outside with Peter and see what happens here. We find, first of all, in verse number 15, two disciples. We'll see later on three denials, and we'll wind up this evening with one long, lonely, sleepless night of disappointment. So we'll see two disciples, three denials, and one long, lonely, sleepless night of disappointment. So in verse 15, we have the two disciples. The first one mentioned, of course, is Peter. We find him following Jesus afar off. Now, if you remember, when the betrayal took place, Jesus was not going to fight. He was going to go willingly. And as he was about to go willingly, he said to that mob that had come to take him, let these go free. And that was done in order that prophecy would be fulfilled. And so all the disciples, all 11 of them that were there with Jesus, took off. They fled for their lives. But we find that two of them had second thoughts, that they apparently did not make it very far when they began to think, I cannot desert my Lord like that. He deserves better than what I'm giving him. And I just, a few moments ago, earlier in the same evening, had pledged my life for his. And so two turned back, one of them being Peter. And so chances are he got out of danger, but he didn't go that far off and kept an eye on Christ and followed along with that mob to the palace of the priest. And as he goes along, we would consider his attitude, what he's thinking here. It's an interesting thing that John records, an interesting thing that only he records. He tells us that when Peter comes to the gate, that he stood without. He didn't go in. And so why would Peter stand without the gate? Probably he was thinking of Malchus. Malchus is the ear of the man that he cut off, the servant of the high priest at whose home he was at. Now there was Annas and there was Caiaphas. Caiaphas was the high priest. Annas is where they went first. He was father-in-law to the high priest. If I understand this correctly, and their homes were adjoined. And in between the two homes was this courtyard where they took Jesus for the trial. This is where the fire was. And so Simon Peter, as he comes to the door, sees it closed, has a dilemma. He wonders, should I go in or should I stay out? Should I enter in where it could pose danger, or should I stay out here where I can find safety? After all, he didn't want to cross paths with Malchus, who would expose him. And then he would be in danger and jeopardized himself into falling into the same lot that Christ fell into. It tells us here that in verse number 16, as Peter stood at the door without, then went that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. And so this other disciple that's unnamed in this account, we find that he thinks he's doing Peter a favor. He thinks he's helping Peter. Little does he know that he's playing right into the devil's hand for Peter's life. And so Peter enters. We find him a little bit later in verse number 18, getting a little bit chilled out there in the courtyard. It was a cold, chilly evening after all. And he finds himself beside the fire. The fire was warm. The fire was comfortable. But around that fire, there were the, as it says there in verse 18, the servants and officers of the priests. And so again, Peter is faced with a dilemma. Does he stay around this fire where there is warmth, where there is comfort, where there is pleasure, or does he stay in the back shadows where there is chilliness and loneliness? He decides to stay by the fire. And it's interesting that we find Peter standing with them. It says Peter stood with them. Now who is the them? It's the servants and the officers. These are the world's people. These are Satan's children, the servants and the officers. And so as we consider what's taking place here with Peter, he thought staying away from Christ was the safest route. He thought staying away from Christ would bring him the greatest security and safety. Christ was led inside. Peter said, I'm staying outside. But by staying outside, he then joined himself and he stood with the world. He stood with the enemy. We don't often consider those of the world our enemy. And sometimes we place ourselves in great danger, as we find Peter finding himself in this evening, when we fail to recognize that those who know not Christ are the enemy. We don't like to think that, because the enemy is represented by our family, by our loved ones. They're represented by our friends and those we enjoy spending time with. But God says you better be careful. You better be careful. He finds himself standing with them. That reminds me of Psalm chapter 1, verse number 1. There we find the warning where it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Now we find Peter identifying with the second of those warnings. We find him standing in the way of sinners as he's warming himself by the world's fire where the heat and the comfort were. He was unwilling to stand alone. He was unwilling to stand in the cold in order to seek the comfort. And so often we want the comfort that we sacrifice our testimony and we place ourselves in harm's way. Didn't Christ teach us to pray and lead me not into temptation? You see, when Peter came to that closed door at the gate, Peter should have turned around and said, "I ought not be here. This is not my place to be." But he didn't. He entered in with John. And as he entered into that courtyard and he saw that fire and felt the chill of his bones, he should have said, "I'm going to stay back here on my own where I won't face temptation." But he didn't. He chose to go where he didn't belong. And we know the results. We'll be looking at those in just a moment. But we're looking at two disciples. The first is Peter. He stayed away from Christ, assuming that brought him the greatest safety. The other disciple, we find him unnamed here, just simply called another disciple. This other disciple is one who knew the high priest. And so when we consider who is in the greater danger here, Peter or this other disciple, we have to imagine the other disciple was. You see, he was well known. It tells us he was able simply to go up to the lady who kept the gate. And he was able to convince her to let Peter come in. That tells us that this other disciple was well known in the palace of the high priest. Now, we don't know how that association came to be, how that familiarity came about, but we do know that it was there and that he was well known. And that if he showed his face in that house, he would be exposed as being a disciple of Christ. And he would expose himself to the danger of the same plight that Christ was about to face. And so who was in the gravest danger? Peter or this other disciple? Obviously, this other disciple was in the greater danger. But this other disciple made the good choice. His choice was to remain by the side of Christ. And we find that he was spared from harm. Now, I believe that this is John referring to himself. I think as John recorded this, his humility is revealed to us. He's about to write about a brother in Christ, a good friend in Christ, who fell and fell terribly. And John is not wanting to elevate himself above his friend in Christ, his brother in Christ, and so he leaves himself unnamed. What a lesson in humility John gives us here in this account. But we see two disciples. Let's move along to the three denials. The three denials. Now, if Peter had made the good choice to stay by Christ and by his side instead of thinking safety came from distancing himself from Christ, the three denials probably never would have come to pass. First of all, let's look at the three traditional and obvious denials. We find the first in verse number 16. As he first enters the courtyard following John, as John allowed him to come in and helped him get in this courtyard. But Peter stood at the door without, then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, as soon as he gets in, she says to him, "Art not thou also one of this man's disciples?" Now you have to figure that this girl didn't pose any danger to Peter. After all, Peter is a rough fisherman. He's a man's man. He's a fellow who wasn't afraid to fight. And here's this little girl saying to him, "Art not thou one of his disciples?" We see a yellow streak run up and down Peter's back as he denies to this young lady and says, "No, I am not a disciple of Christ." We find further on in this in verse number 25. As I said, we had skipped down a little bit for a little while, glimpses back in the house to Jesus Christ. But then the storyline follows back to Peter in verse 25. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself right where we left him at the end of verse number 18, where it tells us Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Verse 25, we pick it up. Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, art not thou also one of his disciples? Now here we have the servants and the officers. Here there'd be a little more of a threat. After all, there was a multitude against one. And no longer are we considering women, but we're considering men. Men who are trained in keeping the peace. Men who are trained in arresting criminals or arresting offenders. And so here the challenge grows a little stiffer. But because Peter failed at test number one, that was easier, it now became more difficult to confront the challenge that God put before him in this temptation in verse number 25. And again, he fails and says, I am not. Now the third temptation comes in verse number 26. When we read that one of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, did not I see thee in the garden with him? And so now the danger grows a little bit stronger, the temptation a little bit more difficult. He failed the easy one, the first one, where it was just simply the lady who kept the door. Then it went a little bit more difficult to the group around the fire. But now it's one who actually witnessed Peter fighting for Christ. One who could identify him if he stood in a lineup and say, that's the man who's a disciple of Christ. He's guilty of whatever crimes we find Christ guilty of. Because he failed the first two tests, we find Peter failing the third test and the final test. Because in verse 27, then Peter denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Just as Jesus informed him back in chapter 13, in verse 37, Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. In verse 38 of John 13, Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. And so we see, just as Peter was told by Jesus, three denials and the cock crows. But if Peter would have been successful in the initial temptations, I think the initial temptation was that front door that was closed. He stopped, he considered, he stood, he thought, and he gave in and went in that gate. Then, the next temptation, a little stronger, again he fails. The third temptation, a little bit stronger, he fails again. The fourth temptation, and he fails that as well with his third denial. And so there we have the three traditional and obvious denials. But this evening I'd like to consider that there's three alternate and not so obvious denials. Ones that perhaps you've never heard before, but there are three other separate denials. When Jesus told Peter he would deny him three times, he was still in the upper room. Now as they finished up the teaching that Jesus gave them, they sang a hymn. After they sang a hymn, they left the upper room and went out to the garden on the Mount of Olives. As they entered into that garden, Jesus set eight of the disciples there and said, you fellows wait here. I'm going to take Peter, I'm going to take John, and I'm going to take James. We're going to go into the garden a little bit further and we're going to have an all-night prayer meeting. And as they went into that garden a little bit further with the three, let's turn over to Matthew chapter 26. Because John entirely skips over this account in the betrayal of Christ. And so we're dependent on the other three gospel writers, who all three of them included it in their account of the life of Christ. Over in Matthew chapter 26, we have this first of the alternate and not so obvious denials of Christ. Let's read verse number 40 and verse 41. Then he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. You remember what happened as Jesus took those three and for his all-night prayer meeting. He said to stay here and pray. And then he went off and prayed on his own. He comes back, and here we find verse number 40, that he came to them, findeth them asleep. And notice what he says here, and saith unto who? He doesn't say to all three of them. He doesn't say to John. He doesn't say to James. He says to Peter. He singles him out specifically. And he says, Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so we find here the first of the alternate and not so obvious denials is that Peter was sleeping when he should have been praying. Peter was sleeping when he should have been praying. And I think this describes Christianity as a whole in a generalization today, that Christ told us to watch and he told us to pray because his coming is imminent at any time. And he knows that there's temptation that will come our way as Satan tries to cause us to depart from the faith, tries to separate us from God. And so often we think that our safety is found in our separation from Christ, and we don't follow the example that John said, that our safety is only found in our nearness to Christ. And as that temptation comes, because we're sleeping instead of praying, we find ourselves easy prey for the wicked one, the tempter, Satan himself, as he comes our way to draw us away from Christ. I believe this is the first of the alternate and not so obvious denials. He did not give himself to prayer, and specifically the prayer that says, as we are taught to pray in Matthew chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount, lead us not into temptation. We find a second alternate and not so obvious denial back in John chapter 18. In John chapter 18, verse number 10, here we have the account of Simon Peter having a sword, drew it, and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. What we find here is that he was fighting when he should have been submitting. Peter was fighting when he should have been submitting. God's will was that Jesus surrender himself and that he go with this angry mob, this lynch mob that came after him. But Peter didn't understand that, nor did he like that. Peter thought, we're going to make our stand here. We're going to make our final stand if need be. But we are not giving in to this crowd of men. When he said, we're not giving in to this crowd of men, he says, I'm not giving in to the will of God. He should have understood these things. He should have understood those things, because Christ told him on many occasions that he would be going to Jerusalem and be betrayed into the hands of these wicked men and crucified and then raised again the third day. Peter should have known the will of God. But because he was out of touch with the will of God, he was fighting when he should have been submitting. And again, we have today so often a powerless church because we're fighting against the will of God instead of submitting to the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and we wonder why God doesn't act, why God doesn't work, why we're such easy prey for the devil when he comes knocking on our door with temptation. Why do we have so much difficulty? Well, so often we're sleeping when we should have been praying. So often we're fighting when we should have been submitting. Now, his third of these alternate and not so obvious denials is the first three, the three traditional and obvious denials. And to sum those up, I would simply say he was denying when he should have been witnessing. He was denying when he should have been witnessing. Those three occasions when he was asked, art not thou one of his disciples? The right answer would have been, yes, I am. And let me tell you about him. Let me tell you about this lovely Savior who came from heaven, this rose of Sharon, this lily of the valleys, this sacrificial lamb, the Passover lamb who's come to shed his blood for your soul and your sins. That should have been the right answer. That's what he should have said on those three occasions. But instead of witnessing, he was denying. And we wonder why our churches are empty in Christianity today. We wonder why we don't see souls saved like they did in eras gone by. Because we, too, are guilty of the same denial of Christ. Instead of witnessing, we're silent. And by our silence, we're denying the Savior who bought us. And so there we have three alternate and not so obvious denials of Christ. And after the third of these was complete, the cock crew. We saw two disciples. John made good decisions. Peter made poor decisions. We saw three denials. Let's move on now to the one long, lonely, sleepless night of disappointment. In order to look at that, we again need to change gospel accounts. We need to move over to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. We'll begin reading with verse number 59. Luke 22, 59, about the space of one hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." Now we often, as we read these three denials, we think they're in rapid fire succession. But Peter had a great deal of time to consider what he had done. Peter had a great deal of time to repent, to confess the sin and get right with God. Because we find here was about an hour after the previous denial. All right, let's move along. Verse number 60. "And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter." I often try to picture the face of Christ as he looked upon Peter. The disappointment in his eyes, perhaps a tear trickling down his cheek, and yet the knowing nod of the head. "Peter, I told you so. I told you so. I warned you. Why wouldn't you listen?" And so the Lord looks on Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And notice Peter's response. It's a good response. Not a pleasant response, but a good response. "And Peter went out and wept bitterly." I don't think Peter slept a wink that night. I think Peter spent the entire rest of that evening in tears, weeping and crying for the fact that he had denied his Lord and Savior. God tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 about godly sorrow. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, in verses 9 and 10, we read that godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, this selfsame thing, that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Now he was talking about sin that he had referenced in the first epistle to the Corinthian church. And they had read his rebuke, and it brought them and moved them to tears because of their failure of their Christ and Savior. And so they repented in tears. And God said, it's a godly sorrow. What a difference it is from the sorrow of Judas Iscariot, who wept bitterly, repented, and hung himself. And so Peter learned some lessons that night. He came out of that night a changed man. He still needed the restoration that we'll see later on in the book of John. But some quick lessons that Peter learned from this one long, lonely, sleepless night of disappointment. He learned to beware of spiritual pride. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we read about the danger and the warning of spiritual pride. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 12, we read, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." Peter had a great deal of confidence and pride, thinking he would stand by Christ's side come what may. And he found out that pride led to a fall. That's one lesson he learned, to stay humble and dependent on Christ. He also learned to beware of prayerlessness. To beware of prayerlessness. We already looked at the fact that Peter was fast asleep when Christ had told him to beware and to pray, to watch and pray that he enter not into temptation. He chose to ignore that warning and he fell. What a lesson he learned that day, the hard way. A third lesson he learned was to beware of the power of temptation. We saw in John chapter 18, verse number 18, that Peter put himself within arm's reach of temptation as he stood with them around that fire that evening to warm himself. He thought perhaps that he was strong enough to handle it and found out otherwise and spent one long, lonely, sleepless night of disappointment. We find also another lesson that he apparently learned that day. In Proverbs 29, verse 25, we read that the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso trusteth the Lord shall be safe. You see, Peter learned to beware of the fear of man. That's what prompted those three denials. That's what caused him to say, I don't know the man. That's what caused him to deny his Lord and Savior, to say, I'm not his disciple, because he feared what those men would say or do unto him. And so what a lesson to learn from one long, lonely, sleepless night of disappointment. Throughout this account of Peter in John 18, we see peer pressure directing his path and the way in which he would go. And we see how, as he allowed the peer pressure of the ungodly, of those of this world, those who are the child of the devil, how it led him to such a terrible demise in his Christian life. How it led him to such a great crisis. And so there we have the greatest lesson of all to be learned this evening from Peter in these denials. We find that we must follow Christ should we be the only one to follow Him. Though all others deny Him, we must follow and follow humbly. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Give us the courage, the boldness to stand for Christ no matter what comes, and whether anyone would go with us or not. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.